Great place. Found a weird body in the water, though. It was gray and had big eyes. 5 stars. Closed on weekends. 3 stars. Otherwise known as Site 19. 5 stars. Not sure what's going on with management, but the place looks like a dump. 2 stars. They let the military-industrial complex run black ops out of this place. Top secret technology reverse-engineered from alien crash retrievals. 1 star.
I didn't see you there.
It all started early this morning.
From hunting ghosts to Bigfoot, UFOs, cryptids, true crime, paranormal, and more.
I've always wanted to see a UFO.
Oh, I was researching for your entertainment.
That's Bigfoot's guess.
He basically wrote the book on modern cult.
We aren't really comedians.
What if Buddha did cocaine?
The Addams Family on meth.
This is the Black Cat Report. See you on the other side. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 93 of the Black Cat Report. My name is Gil, and here to complain to me about forgetting to take the bear locks off my trash can again, everyone's favorite local sanitation engineer, Joey.
I am here to tell you, you can't have bears in your trash.
Blame it on cartoons. They influenced me as a child.
Aw, cute little Yogi Bear and little Pooh Bah Bear. I don't remember what the other one was named. Paddington. There is another bear called Paddington.
There was a Paddington. There was a Bad News Bears. I don't know.
All the bears. They're getting in your trash.
All the bears. Well, now, before we dive in, we got to give a huge shout out to a listener that's officially become a monthly supporter. Goes by the name Harry Carey.
Woo!
Get that man a drink. Along with being super active on the last episode of Beer, Booze, and Boogeyman, and I believe the couple episodes before that too, they've also been listening to past episodes of Black Cat Report on YouTube and have been leaving us tons, like literally tons of awesome, well-thought-out comments, great ideas, and some really incredibly nice compliments, which like brought a massive smile to our faces. Like seriously, that, like getting those email notifications about, you know, so-and-so left you a comment on Facebook, and you kind of click and you look and it's like, holy shit, thank you. Like, it's biggest smiles in the world. Thank you so much, Harry Carey. Like, that's
I'm looking at the smiles that Gil's giving right now, his smile is his face. Like, his mouth is filled up his face because of the smile. It's huge. Mine too.
The microphone is down his throat.
Yes. Thank you, Harry Carey, for everything you're doing for the support, and you're amazing. Keep sending us ideas too.
Yeah.
And keep send in comments. Gil is reading them and then just regurgitating them to me. I love it.
Yeah. And honestly, even like Instagram messages, I never check Facebook, so if you message us there, I didn't look, sorry. But like YouTube or Instagram or Twitter, places like that, or email, we do have an actual shared spot that I copy and paste, and I put all of them in there, and I put references to like who recommended it and the date and all that stuff. So we keep track of them.
We do.
And we love them, and might not always reply immediately, but if you stick around long enough, guaranteed, we will cover every single one of them. But there's more to this. There's more to Harry Carey and why they're so awesome.
Ooh.
This person didn't just stop at all the awesome things they were already doing. They proceeded to hunt down our supporter link, which we have had forever, but literally never tell anybody about during our show.
No, we don't. We really don't.
We never mention that there's a way to like donate and shit. I guess we're shy about income. I don't know what it is, but we never tell anybody about it. And Harry Carey hunted it down. It's not even on YouTube. It's through Spotify. They hunted it down and became a monthly supporter. And that's the kind of digging and research that we fucking love.
We do.
So extra special shout out to you, Harry Carey. And as a quick side note, yes, Mill Labs are on our book list.
They're on the docket.
Yes.
Yes. And we are going to announce it that you can find in the show notes. We'll put the monthly supporter links so that you can. No, we got to do this because we do want to. We do.
Yeah.
We'll put it in the show notes of every show so that you can subscribe. Me and Gil have talked about if we can do this for a life. We will bring you so much content that you might not want it.
Begging us to stop.
Yeah, you'll be begging us to stop.
Yeah. We will do our best to make you sick of us. Guaranteed.
Yes.
Yes.
And then once you're sick of us, We'll do the greatest show that will make you want to come back.
That's actually why we're saving all these ideas.
Preach.
So then that way, when they get sick of us, then we cover their shit. Bring them right back.
Bringing them.
Bring them right back.
Right back.
Right back.
Preach, which is a hint to a future set of episodes that will be coming up. Near future, maybe? Not sure.
Now, with that, we do have some major announcements coming up. I've had a crazy busy personal life this past month, honestly, for the past few weeks, just with work things going on and like looking for a new employment, because the last company I was at totally fucking went under and everybody got laid off. And so that's why we're a little bit late with this release. We could have got it out on time, but the conversation Joey and I were having, I just told him straight up, I was like, I need more time with this. I've come across things that changed the story from my assumptions when I started researching and writing about it to like where the story needs to go. And frankly, anytime that happens, we hit the brakes. And I'm like, until this shit gets covered, we're not releasing it because we don't want to deliver the same fucking story that you could go hear somewhere else.
And we hope that's why you love us.
And I would freaking hope so. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm late to the party. I brought these gold bars and 16 pizzas. Is that okay? And everybody like, how could you be mad?
Right.
But yeah, like I said, sorry, a little bit hectic, but in this kind of transition time, I have been catching up on some big projects and some big things for Black Cat Report that I've frankly just not had the fucking mental capacity to handle on a technical level, like, you know, setting shit up online and building out all these things. I haven't had time to do it, but in this transitional period with work, I got time to do it. So, been kicking ass on that, and expect next week an awesome announcement.
Ooh, yeah.
If you've made it this far through the intro of the show and you're still listening, then you do love us. And there's going to be exclusive things coming up for the diehards and the awesome folks like you that listen to all this blabbering every single week. We love you so much.
So
keep your ears peeled.
And those monthly supporters, as we said earlier, might get some gifts.
Well, as for resources and references, I used a lot of them to write this episode. There are about 25 to 30. Now, with all that said, there are three interviews by our protagonists, and they will be used as kind of the main source, the meat and potatoes, the skeleton, right? But there was a lot of, let's just say, external verification research that I needed to do for key moments, points, locations, dates, things like that. They'll all be in the show notes. It's going to be a nice little laundry list for anybody that wants to dig in. But part of the reason why I'm including all that, because there needs to be more research done around this. And I hope that those show notes and this episode, if you're hearing it, hello, I hope that it's a good jump off point for folks to go deeper later on. So quick note here, we'll be talking a lot about an army base currently known as Fort Liberty, which you've probably never heard of. See, it was originally named after a Confederate general who was well known for his combative personality and poor field performance. That general was Braxton Bragg. And since winners get to write history, on June 2nd, 2023, less than a year from the time of this recording, Fort Bragg was officially renamed Fort Liberty. For the sake of avoiding confusion, we'll be calling it Fort Bragg, just for fucking simplicity's sake.
Everybody knows it as Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all that said, let's dig in. From the age of 13, D.C. Long, full name, Dwight Cleveland Long Jr., was regularly brushing shoulders with both special forces and high-ranking members of the military. This was due to the fact that D.C. Long's dad, Dwight Cleveland Long Sr., who I'll be referring to as Dwight for the sake of everyone's listening sanity, well, he worked as a civilian contractor doing construction for the Department of Defense, namely at nearby Fort Bragg in North Carolina. Like anyone would, over time, as he jumped from project to project, building and tearing down any number of things, Dwight inevitably made friends with some of the service members he was regularly working alongside of. Right? That's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was only natural for Dwight to invite folks he'd made friends with at the base to come down and use his nearby private hunting lands, right? So this is like right outside of Fort Bragg. You meet folks, they'd be like, oh man, I wish I could go deer hunting. You know, I'm from Arkansas. I'm from this, they're from some other area.
Yeah.
they've become buddy-buddy. He's like, dude, I got a spot. Like, I got a private spot. Yeah, man, you can come by anytime. Da-da-da-da-da. Like,
yeah, makes sense.
Totally normal shit, right? Doesn't matter if they're new recruit that they hit it off with or if they're Delta Forces or...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's just there as a contractor. He's not in the military. He's just talking to folks and doing his damn job, you know?
Yep.
So with that setup, DC Long, DC has all these random folks that he would be meeting, right? A lot of different folk coming to his house, hanging out, hunting on his family's property. Well, while he was growing up, these officials, they were just dad's work friends. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who he had met at the job and were invited to come down for the weekends and on their family's land. Well, over time, some of these folks would become family friends who occasionally would take DC and his dad on hunting and fishing trips around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So like fairly early on, his dad's contracting construction business became incredibly successful, contract after contract after contract, right from Fort Bragg, you know, basically neighbors.
Yeah, good place.
Yeah, he had all the connections, family was all in contracting, and, you know, the more that you kind of get in, the more that you kind of know everybody, the easier it is for you to get gigs, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, hey, all respect, all fairness, it's always better to hire locals, so, like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're literally neighbors to the damn base, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this snowballs, goes on over time. And, you know, like I said, there's high-ranking members of the military that are also at Fort Bragg, major U.S. military base. And they're just coming by and going hunting and hanging out and shooting the shit and fishing and stuff like that. Sometimes they would have private jets or transportation. They'd be like, going out to Arkansas. We're going out to Montana to do this. We're going out here. You guys want to come this weekend? That became a normal thing.
Yeah.
Well, as he tells it now, D.C. at the time had literally no clue until much, much, much later in life that most of them were even in the military. If not, he didn't even know any of them were in the military. People are just showing up to fish and, like, in camo. Or, like, everybody's in camo when they're hunting, you know? So,
well, it
like,
makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Not that different.
Notice, right?
Couldn't even see them.
Well, fast forward now to 1997. I never gave you a year, but we're fast forwarding. Anyways, this was the start of his military career. During his junior year of high school, he had completed basic training. Then, after his senior year, he went to AIT, Advanced Individual Training, which is essentially Army Job School. This all led to deployment in the Middle East and Iraq and Afghanistan, right? He was deployed with the National Guard. Eventually, over time, he switched to active duty, and eventually working his way up, he became an Army Airborne Ranger. This takes us now to a phone call from his dad in 2010. Dwight was getting ready to begin a new contract for the Department of Defense, the DOD, and he was reaching out to DC to ask if he would come out to the area and help him assess and take measurements at this new job site. Now, it's important to note here, neither of them knew at the time exactly what the job was, which, in truth, is par for the course, right? So, you see, when the DOD posts projects publicly, when they announce them, the details surrounding the actual work are kept as vague as possible. Even things like qualifications and required skills are often just kind of like generalized categories, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need a class whatever the fuck plumber.
Yeah.
They don't tell you what the fuck pipes you're putting down or what it's for.
Yeah.
Because those are national security concerns, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
So broad categories, this is as vague as we can possibly get. And then what happens is basically, you know, contractors have to look at the types of specialists that they'll need.
Mm-hmm.
Then they estimate the timeline, and then they submit a bid on how much they would charge for that many people doing that many hours of whatever the fuck type of work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It just kind of be like, well, you're saying you need this people for this and that and the other. I know a guy that can do three of those jobs. He's qualified. So that actually cuts hours down to this. I just got to pay, you know, like they do the math. Everybody submits the bids. DOD gets it. And they're like, this guy's giving us the best price. We'll hire them on, right?
Yep.
At that point, the contractor and the folks that need to know, they get read in just a little bit on more details surrounding the actual specific duties and roles to be carried out in order to complete the job. We're building a tunnel. We're, you know, setting pipe here. We're doing this, again, trying to keep it as vague as possible. But they get read in a little bit more, right?
Yeah. It's like going from we need a metal worker to we need somebody that can make aluminum.
You ever work with nukes?
Whoa, that escalated very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm qualified for this. Sure,
oh,
you are.
Don't worry about it. Your quote was the best.
If you die, we ain't got to pay for it. Just kidding. But seriously, you got a family? Anyways.
We'll send flowers.
But all that said, so keep in mind, right, his dad calling, then asking to meet up at a military base so they can figure out what's needed for a project. That's not weird at all. And actually, it was a pretty regular call between the two of them,
uh-huh.
Right? Just par for the course.
Yep.
Well, DC agreed, as he often did. He always went out to help his dad. He loved his dad, idolized his dad, looked up to him, all that jazz. They were super close. And even though he's still active duty at this point in time, anytime he got a chance, he would request leave, make the drive from wherever he happened to be stationed at back up to North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
to help his dad on shit. Well, like I said, DC agreed. And when the day came, they both met up at the 18th Airborne Headquarters located inside of Fort Bragg. Shortly after the two arrived, they were informed that they'd be paired up with a military escort who was already on his way from the nearby JFK War Center. Again, not strange at all. Even though Dwight was a regular at Fort Bragg, there are policies against letting an unsupervised civilian and his son wander around a military base, just, you know, unattended. Like, they generally
yeah.
don't
oh, yeah.
let that shit happen. Well, to no one's surprise, the escort turned out to be one of Dwight's many, many, many pals. Again, he had been working there for at least 3 decades, for over 30 years. He had been working at this base. He knew fucking everybody and every square inch.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in no time, Dwight was getting a here's what I know kind of casual brief in between basically idle chit chat. Dwight's just kind of like, hey, man, yeah, no, nice to see you here. So, like, do you know where they're taking us? Da 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 da. Well, as the two gabbed on, DC was left waiting in that awkward no man's land of, like, surprise social interaction, right? That space between, I'm going to give them some privacy, and but since we're leaving together, I'm going to kind of stay close, but not too close. You know, he's kind of mm-hmm. just like, I guess I'm just
that
over
awkward
here now.
Point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always awkward when you're trying to not hear people, but you're still trying to hear people and be part of it.
Yeah.
He's like kind of in a corner because the other two people know each other better. And it's always so awkward. You're just sitting there listening and you're like, I don't want to let them know that I'm listening, but I'm here and that I can contribute to this conversation, but you can't.
Yeah. Start to get a little bit impatient and you're just kind of like really trying to make yourself known that you're there, but not actually cross
yeah.
that line of being rude. But you're also like, hey, you drove and I'm waiting for you. You know?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, it's that exact weird spot. So he waited within earshot.
Yeah.
Well, as the conversation continued, little breadcrumbs fell out of their mouths and into the nearby waiting ears of DC, who would eventually overhear the escort tell his dad that he'd been ordered to take them to a place called Range 19. Now, Dwight had been working in and around this base for about 30 years, and by proxy, DC knew the names and layout of the area pretty damn well himself, but neither of the two had ever heard, not even so much as a whisper, about a place called Range 19. When the time finally came to head out, the escort led the two men to a windowless van waiting for them nearby. Once they were seated in the back, DC noticed there was no connection to the front driver's area. They were essentially sitting in a closed box, and this led DC to joke that they were being taken to jail. He was like, ah, man, what the fuck did you do? They're taking us to Leavenworth, you know, like you
yeah,
said.
Yeah.
Kind of like joking around.
It would feel that way.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit, y'all are fucking serious. Like, we're just in a fucking metal box right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're basically just saying, like, man, they're going to drive us past 1 through 18. Guess we're going all the way to 19 today.
I told you you needed to include tipping on your taxes. So, like, very awkward, but they're kind of joking.
Yeah.
Now, from start to finish, the drive lasted a whole of about 15 minutes. When the van doors opened and the men let out, they were both left standing there, baffled. They were completely surrounded by random trash, and they were staring at what DC would later describe as a typical looking bunker entrance, which was also completely covered in trash.
Wow. So basically they were just surrounded by the Washington Wizards. They're a really terrible basketball team, if you don't get that, or the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah. Exactly,
sports.
Joey. Exactly.
Yes.
So they were surrounded by low-performing NBA teams.
Yes.
Well, inspired by the sight, DC had a Joey moment and said, quote, they were surrounded by the Pistons. No, that
would have been fucking great. Damn, that would have been hilarious. if he said that the exact same thing, you'd be like, great minds think alike.
I did say something close. Inspired by the sight, DC had a Joey moment and said, quote, this place looks like a dump.
Go figure.
Such
yes.
That's such a Joey statement.
I would just be like, that's the dump. I would look around too and just kind of like side eye people until somebody like acknowledges that I said it. Yeah. Kick the can, just Jesus. Acknowledge until I said it. And then I just nod and in yeah, a moment over. That's all you need.
Yeah. 90% of recording our episodes is me just making direct eye contact with Joey so that he can see that I acknowledged him.
And then I keep going. I keep going. It doesn't matter. It's moment over.
He cut his mic off an hour ago. He's just still talking.
He's still talking.
At this point, they are in a dump, staring at the entrance to a bunker that is surrounded by and covered in trash.
Like Fallout, basically. It's like brazen, end-of-world looking.
More or less. Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it. Many areas of New Jersey, like Newark, it's kind of like that. With all that understood, I gotta take y'all on two quick little side quests here, right, from my researching for these episodes. First off, DUMB is actually the acronym for Deep Underground Military Base.
God.
They are called DUMBs, which, if you didn't notice, is in the title of this episode. And here's the thing. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of DUMBs within the United States. But seriously, step back and think about this here, right? And there are a lot of known locations of underground military bases within the United States. Like, that is an actual thing. You can go to their websites. There's maps. Shit tons have not been announced publicly for really good reasons. Straight up fucking security, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, the reason why there's so many is they have almost no footprint on the surface, so they can be built under entire cities. They can be as big as we can keep digging.
Yeah.
They could be fucking huge right next to an incredibly populated area, and nobody's going to sit there and complain about a massive military base taking up space.
Because they don't know. Yeah. Well, I wonder if these DUMBs have actually run into the caves of the little elves in that one episode, the little underground elves.
Who you think built them?
They enslave the elves. That's why they're so mad.
Well, like I was saying, though, so there's hundreds, if not thousands, of DUMBs within the United States. They have almost no footprint on the surface. It can be built under cities. They are super easy to protect, really hard to locate, especially if they're in a dump. And, you know, they aren't affected by natural disasters. Nukes and bombs don't even fucking touch them. And they're totally impervious to advanced random Chinese spy balloon technology. They're kind of perfect, right?
Yeah.
That's not even getting into mentioning the fact that the constant temperature kind of helps save a lot of money on heating and cooling bills. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's good. Nice and cool down there.
A little bit of it, you know?
Yep.
Now, for our second side quest, the location of this bunker, the Dump Dump, has most likely been found. Just outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina, is Fort Bragg, located in a little township called Vass. And according to Google Maps, just a short 10-minute drive from Fort Bragg's front gates is the Lamont Landfill. And while a handful of people have already ID'd Lamont Landfill as the most likely location of Range 19, I did a little bit more digging. And while it doesn't explicitly say shooting range and let's just say reverse engineering place, in their contract, I was able to verify that the Lamont Landfill is actively under contract with the U.S. Army. I found it.
Wow.
It's online. I got all the fucking shit on that, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm here to say is the Lamont Landfill, it's very likely to be the Dump Dump Dump.
Yes. Wow.
Dump Dump Dump.
Dum, dum, dum.
So hard to say fast. Well, after locating and sleuthing around, right, I noticed Lamont had a 4.3 star rating on Google, and I had to read
it's
the
pretty
reviews.
Good for a dump. Yeah, you got to. It's pretty good for a dump.
Those are part of the same reviews that I read at the start of this episode. But Here's what's fucking trippy. Today, when I was copying and pasting the reviews, I noticed something that I didn't catch last time around. 4 years ago, someone gave Lamont Landfill 2 out of 5 stars. Commented, quote, "This is the Delta compound, and I will find a way to get on for Delta Force." Here's the thing. The first time DC Long, our whistleblower about the situation we're getting into here, the first time he came out publicly and told his story was at a National Press Club event hosted by Stephen Greer, everybody's favorite roasted red pepper, in Washington, D.C. on Monday, June 12th, 2023, less than a year ago. Somebody else was already onto this and making claims that I have been spending the past week and a half trying to validate from DC Long, because he's the only one that was saying any of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Google review.
There's one Google review, somebody being like, this is the place.
This comment was left more than 3 years before DC Long came out and blew the whistle on Range 19 on this location at the dump.
That's crazy.
I also want to point out here, because they weren't anonymous, I checked all their other reviews because I was like, this is the only review they left. They're just kind of running around everywhere claiming Delta Force is involved. They're like,
yes. You got to check that.
My macchiato was cold and it was served by Delta Force, you know, like one
a 17-year-old Delta Force trainee.
Well, folks like that are out there and half of them are my friends, you know?
True.
Anyways, other than what I felt like were a lot of unfair slash overly picky reviews, the person never brought up anything close to this comment ever. And they're considered one of Google's top, you know, guides or whatever to a location or to like an area. They posted like 50 or 60 reviews of places like all over North Carolina and South Carolina about everything.
That's weird.
Post offices, restaurants, fast food places, like all sorts of shit. And it goes back like years. So it didn't seem like a fringe account.
You have to be so petty.
Yeah.
To leave reviews of landfills and post offices and like those poor postal workers that deal with the worst people in the world. We love our postal workers.
But the post office, we absolutely love it.
Edit in here, the post office does. No, how petty do you have to be to like really leave reviews for post offices?
Yeah.
Like post offices are awesome. Like they deal with a lot of stuff.
You have to just, I feel bad for those people dealing with just like the random people yelling that their box didn't come in one day after they sent it to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, but they didn't send anything back to me. Or the old lady that just keeps sending out mail to her like son, daughter-in-law, or son, whatever, and just like never gets a response back. And she yells at the postal service saying they're hiding her mail.
Yeah.
You know? It's not her fault her grandkids are terrible people. You know? The postal office
can't go there and break into their house and start auctioning off their stuff, you know?
Like, this is not the old days.
Damn, Joey.
You know?
Well, like I said, I checked into the person that left that review 3 years before there were any kind of public statements, any rumors, any conspiracies running around about the Lamont landfill being the location of this bunker that DC and his dad were taken to.
Mm-hmm.
DC Long, in mid-2023, is at this National Press Club briefing hosted by Dr. Greer. A month or so later, he was on the very popular Sean Ryan show. I don't know. As I've been going through over this past like week and a half and trying to validate so many different points, because the only actual reference, the only source we have is DC Long just saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that we don't have shit else to prove anything.
Yeah.
That changed some shit in me when I saw that a few hours ago when I was copying and pasting reviews.
Yeah.
Back to the main quest. With both men a little confused, but again, there for a job, they followed their escort to the bunker's door, where they were immediately met with and joined by yet another military escort. After being let in, they were taken directly to a cargo elevator. There were two buttons on the elevator, which I would assume were just up and down. The doors closed, and as they descended, one of the escorts wasted no time making elevator small talk somehow even more awkward than usual when he looked at DC and Dwight and told them, quote, "Keep your head down and eyes on the heels of the person in front of you or you will be fired upon."
Dang, that's it's like, I don't know if I could ever do that.
Here's a guy, fucking 30 years, probably almost like twice the age of the person saying that to him.
Mm-hmm.
And here's somebody who's active duty Army Ranger, who's also been on this base for fucking ever. And just like
privy to secrets,
too. Was in Iraq, was in Afghanistan, been a part of a lot of military operations. The way that he explains it in his interviews, kind of like laughs it off, kind of treats everything kind of like lightly around that, right? And there's a lot of like boys being boys kind of talk, especially in the military. But he also said, he's like, yeah, I'm familiar with a lot of the kind of like little threats and shit people make, and just kind of like the joking, it's not joking, but it's still joking kind of things. That's not one of them. Well, when the elevator finally stopped and the doors open, DC saw, sitting just to the right, three personal Connexes, which is the fancy army name for large cargo containers used to transport gear and store supplies. They also are apparently a notorious pain in the ass for service members to deal with, which I learned when I was Googling the word personal Connexes and found an entire incredibly active thread on Reddit. Thanks, Reddit.
Always good for random knowledge. Now we know.
I think the start of the post was personal Connex for civilians, large storage container. And people were just going down like, man, I had to do this. And they're like, man, if you're a person of color, you will always end up in there having to sort shit. And then just like, I was like, this is a very, this is like somebody, comedian coming up on stage and being like, taxes, am I right? And everybody's like, just like, that is the safest combo.
I thought the first post was going to be like, Connexes, fuck them. Just like it ends.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, everyone all hearted.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Just the upvotes for years. Well, like I said, DC saw and recognized immediately three large personnel Connexes sitting there as the doors were starting to open up. So as the escort stepped forward, it gave DC a better view of the room for his eyes to kind of quickly scan. What they landed on not only left him struggling to process, but was obviously what he and his dad weren't supposed to see. Inside of this huge, mostly dark room, illuminated by just a few overhead hanging lights, was a massive, monolithic slab suspended in the air.
Like Egyptian style, or
giant fucking slab. And I do want to point out here, I couldn't say sitting on its side because it wasn't sitting, it was suspended.
Yes,
but positioned horizontally. All right, take a pencil, turn it on its side. That's the way it was hanging out, but it was off of the ground.
Yeah,
quote, it just looked like a granite slab, but the sheen on it is what caught my attention the most. It was kind of in between being polished or just completely transparent. There was something behind it, but you could tell it had a smooth surface, end quote. Now, there were no cranes, wires, support beams, nothing. Just a 7 foot high, 7 foot wide, 20 foot long slab of granite floating about a foot to foot and a half off the ground.
That's fucking nuts.
Now, I did the math, and depending on the type of granite, that slab would weigh somewhere between 80 to 90 tons, depending on if it was gray, light, or black granite. That's a fucking lot.
That's a lot, yeah. To hold up, to be held there.
Yeah, yeah. This would be an intense thing to see, even if you knew there were cables, because you'd be like, what the fuck kind of magical, super thin cables are holding something like
this? Yeah, yeah.
This is insane.
It's gotta be new tech.
Yeah. Well, after stepping out of the elevator and into the room, with the escorts in front and behind, they started walking, leaving their footsteps to give a tempoed break between the otherwise symphony of dead silence. Following along with his head down, DC's curiosity was doing its best to not make it obvious while he was side-eyeing literally every inch of the room walking forward. He noticed there were a handful of people wearing lab coats, probably scientists, spaced out throughout this hangar. Again, this is a massive, like, picture basically an airplane hangar, and you're underground.
Damn.
This massive fucking room, right?
Yeah.
Enough to fit this fucking slab in. It's a huge room, right?
Floating, too.
Yeah, enough to float this slab in it. Well, so notice them. It's kind of like looking around. It's dark, pretty much the only area that's lit up by a few, you know, pen lights, like what's the word I'm looking for? A few of those lights that they always have in detective movies when they're interrogating people, right? You know, just like, what did you do? You know, like there's three or four of those that are lit up just over by the slab, right? The rest of this room, it's dark.
Yeah.
They're underground. Ain't no windows, right? So pitch black, just kind of like walking. He then noticed that just to the right of the monolith, there was a second object, a large boulder, floating in the air that was being spun around like a half-inflated balloon, those are my words, by one of the scientists. The way he describes it is he was kind of spinning it slowly, but that honestly just makes me think of like a half-inflated balloon like playing with it.
Yeah.
This is fucking weird, right?
That is weird. It's like when you play volleyball with the balloons when you're young, you know, and always hitting it back and forth. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Your entire house becomes a battlefield. They're like, no, don't let it touch the ground.
Yeah, never let it touch the ground.
But they're playing with boulders.
Damn.
Even through these strange sights, DC found himself becoming increasingly distracted as an odd, deep vibration began developing across his body and becoming more intense as they grew closer to the monolith.
Mm-hmm.
This sensation, like a vibration without sound, was different from intense bass, but still kind of similar. It's become a feeling that he still kind of struggles with finding a comparison for to this day.
Mm.
Right? Yeah, he kind of has described it a few different ways, but he's always just kind of like, it's kind of like that. It's not really like that. I've never felt anything like it before.
Yeah.
It's very strange. But it became like overwhelming and pretty much guaranteed it was coming from where this monolith was. As they were getting closer, it was getting more intense. Even with a scientist playing, you know, balloon volleyball with a boulder, yeah, he was getting distracted by this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, while this room was huge, their destination did require them to eventually walk alongside the floating monolith,
mm-hmm.
right? So they had to be taken near it, probably, you know, why they prompted them with such an intense warning about fucking look around, right?
Don't look up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when they were walking parallel to the slab, DC's curiosity won out and he made his move. He stopped and he said out loud that he had to, quote, tie my shoes.
Wow.
He was literally like, oh my, it seems my shoelaces have had a safety divorce. OSHA would be mad and just like stop.
Well, to be fair, if they're going by how that they told him to look down at the bird, he was looking at his feet.
Yeah.
He knew his shoe was untied. If they looked down and saw that his shoe was untied, mm-hmm. they would have fired him.
How come you didn't notice? That's where you were supposed to be looking.
Yeah. How come you didn't notice? You're fired. You're gone. Yep. You're
but
gone.
You had my back, brother. You know, like...
Yeah, for sure. Like, hey, he's just doing what he was told.
Mm-hmm. So... Again, I've watched hours of his interviews multiple times now and been hearing him speak. To be honest, and this is not a knock at him, I know folks exactly like this that are friends in my life. He gives off the vibe that he, you know, was just like, this'll work. Just fucking did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Greatest actor.
Yeah, well, it was like, it kind of reminds me of some people I know that would 100% try to do something like this. And think that they were slick while they were doing it, like, this'll fool them. And it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
Because reading that, or me just kind of, you know, regurgitating that, it's like, oh, come on, dude, really? But, like...
Yeah.
We all know folks in our life that are just like, the cops are like, you got any drugs in the car? And they'd be like, we don't have any drugs in the car. You know, and you'd be like, why the fuck would you say that? You know?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It's like, making them look in the car.
Yeah.
You're making them now look at you. You know?
Yeah.
And like, okay, cool, you're making the scene.
Back in my day when it wasn't legal anywhere, I had a run-in at a pot festival where a cop went to go say something, and my friend literally tried, he was very stoned, we were all very stoned, but my friend literally said, what's over there? And pointed.
And then ran away.
And the cop just fucking stared straight at him, and he looked at me and he was just like, that was worth a shot.
Hey, you never know. You never know if they'll stop.
It could have worked, but this move reminds me of that. You know, I'm just like, oh no, my shoes are untied. You know,
Gil. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
It's true.
And if you're the Wizards or the Pistons, you miss 99% of the shots you take.
And in this case, he's lucky he didn't get a shot in the back. So
yeah,
like,
he almost got one of those shots that they missed.
Well. Regardless, when he took a knee to tie his laces, he was able to look underneath the slab where he saw nothing but a clear view of the shoes of people on the other side and the very bottom of a second boulder-like object that apparently hadn't forgotten how to gravity and was just kind of chilling on the floor like God and Newton intended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when DC later explains this stroll, he mentions noticing something interesting. sitting on top of both boulders and the granite slab, with no obvious connections, were small black boxes with spires. Everything else looking more or less normal, the sight of these small toolbox-looking things led DC to believe they were playing a role in the object's levitation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sadly, his shoe-tying ruse was soon interrupted by the escort still waiting behind him, leading DC to receive a friendly nudge with their knee and a prompt, "Let's go." They left the room and proceeded down a flight of stairs, where they were finally told what the project was. And we will pick up right there next week with part two of DC Long, Range 19, and the Dumb Dump.
Damn, that's awesome. Cliffhangers in galore. I mean, damn, him tying his shoe was a bold move.
Yeah, I wanted that to be the exact climax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the monolith's cool and all, but shoe tying.
The shoe tying, yeah. And I mean, as he tied his shoe, he looked over a little bit, and then Chris Angel jumped out and was like, "Ha-ha, I'm training for my newest tricks."
Turns around, and he's in a lab coat, and he's like, "Mind freak!"
Yeah, mind freak.
He turns into the slab.
Yeah, he turns into Chris Angel. He's like, "I've been you all along."
Oh, my God. Y'all are the fucking best. And head down. Eyes on the heels of the person in front of you, and keep your shoes untied. That's all I've learned. That's all I've learned this episode. Keep your shoes untied.
Always have one shoe untied, just in case you need to really, really make a point to have everyone look at your shoes so you can look somewhere else.
The escort behind him was like, "He's wearing Crocs. Wait a second.
Yeah, he's cut Crocs. He's not a real contractor."
Love you guys. Y'all is shit. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Was officially renamed Fort Liberty. Joey, I literally wrote these notes out so you didn't have to look it up. I the whole time I was like, how do I phrase this so he doesn't just stop paying attention to
it? But I wanted to look it up. I'm
God
already Googling it. So you're saying that this terrible general is Fort Liberty, was the general named Fort Bragg.
Fort
Bragg. Oh, he
Bragg.
Was a terrible
Braxton
general.
Braxton Bragg was a shit general. But Fort Bragg,
he doesn't have to brag about it.
Fort Bragg was one of, I think it was like four Confederate forts, like actual, mm-hmm. you know, forts that the Confederacy had. The very strong connection to that, but he was a shit general and it was for the Confederacy named after him. So like the name got changed. Cool. Yeah. But still, this happened less than a year ago at the time of this recording. And so I know when I read that, I was just like, when I saw it, I was just like, Fort Liberty, cool, found it. And then I was like, oh, Fort Bragg's right next to it. And then I was like, oh, wait a second, it's the same fucking place.
It's the same place.
And we're like in the state with it. And
yeah,
I don't even know that. You
oh,
know?
It's Fort Liberty now.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
it is Fort Liberty.
Oh, they changed. Okay, so I did not get that. That they changed it to Fort Liberty. That makes sense, though.
It's
I mean,
one of the first things
you know,
I said.
Whatever. Yeah, that makes sense.